We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is where I go to get my mask, protect myself and my family. Got two wife, two little kids.
Was it not a roll of the dice when the Marx Brothers tried to fly?
Summer Swindle word is enjoy. E-N-G-O-Y, enjoy.
Yo.
Hi, Brendan. This is Skip Bayless, the real Skip Bayless, wishing you a happy birthday. Any friend of Joy Taylor's is a friend of mine. I appreciate your support. I hope you have a great birthday, and I do appreciate you hanging in there with me all these years.
Rocky Marciano's the only heavyweight ever to retire undefeated, and he fought the great Jersey Joe Walcott. And Jersey Joe Walcott was a great fighter.
You know, I saw a raccoon for the first time in 5 years the other day in this spot that I've been hunting, and that was one of the happiest moments of my life, and it's like, yes, maybe we are making a difference.
It's your birthday! Wow, Robbie, that was a great intro montage.
Thank I gotta you. Tell you, where is the state of our show when we have people on that almost shed a tear because they saw a raccoon?
I mean, it was a beautiful thing. This is what he's making a difference for. This is what Dusty Crumb lives for. We got to get him back on, see what's going on with him. We also got to see if Chris Perkins can do a profile on him.
Well, keep in mind, he's not down here, so maybe Perk.
Sometimes he is, though.
Maybe Perk is doing a local guy.
Oh, I know that hey, logo guy's that skunk ape guy. We saw him with the crazy eyes.
I'm going to tell you like this. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the day they asked Perk to go out in the Everglades and interview somebody that hunts snakes, right, will be the day he says, how about them Marlins?
He's back. Well, speaking of baseball, what a wacky night last night was. Like, it was such an odd World Series in that, first of all, it had a hugely controversial decision.
Oh God.
Then, you know, you had a team that hadn't won in three decades win the World Series. You had a crazy post-game ceremony. Everybody that wanted to go hear the other team talk because people are mad at the manager. Rob Manfred, what the hell? A dude got COVID. He's on the field. He's off the field. I don't even know where that stands right now. I fell asleep. Leroy, I couldn't stop being on Twitter last night because just stuff kept happening.
Who got COVID?
Justin Turner.
The ginger wonder, Justin Turner.
He got pulled mid-game.
They just say, hey, out of the game, sixth inning, COVID test.
When did he? What?
Yup.
Wait. Now, hold on. Now, aren't we supposed to have those tests before the game?
Look, I don't know what the hell happened.
Well, he got tested on Monday, and Monday's test came back inconclusive, and then he got tested again Tuesday. And Tuesday's test results didn't come back till middle of the game. And yes, you know what you're thinking. Yes, they played the game even though they didn't.
Hey, I got to tell you. Look, I'm all serious about this COVID thing. But are you sitting Turner down?
I mean, you think the Dodgers pulled a fast one?
I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that Before the game, I say, hey, get those Trump doctors ready. I think after the World Series, we may have deemed to have a super spreader because I'm playing them.
Dude, he's just out there super spreading like nobody cared. Like
There's no games left. He's out there spreading
the silly sauce.
No, they're interviewing Bellinger on SportsCenter yesterday, and they asked him about Justin Turner. He goes, he deserves to be out here. It sucks that he's out here. And then 2 minutes later, there he is. You just see that giant fire beard. You can't,
he can't hide.
It's not like he can go. He's the most recognizable person on the field.
Wait, he looks exactly like there's a golf commercial. Golf Now.
Yeah,
they say go play, and the guy looks exactly like him. Like
it was
Turner.
It was so funny too, because I'm like watching everybody celebrate. I'm like, why does everybody got their mask on? That's kind of weird. Like,
right.
No games left.
Oh,
and then,
my goodness.
And then Justin Turner takes his mask off in the middle of taking a team picture on the mound, like Little League style, and then he has the mask on, and then he like looks around. Whoop. Like, dude, there's cameras everywhere. It's the World Series.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Robbie, hit the headlines. What do we got, man? What a crazy
the
night.
The Ticket is the home of every Miami Heat game.
Bam. Got it right at the rim with 0.8 seconds left. Oh, my goodness. What a play.
WAXY South Miami and WSFS HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
His last at bat was a deep shot to center field. I just watched in the sixth inning. I mean, to the outfield. It was caught, but it was hit pretty far. I mean,
Rona, he knew he missed it too.
Well, that damn Rona, that damn Rona brought the ball back.
Yep.
Last night made you want to grab a Modelo Especial because it is the perfect beer for the home tailgate. It is brewed with the fighting spirit. Headlines also brought to you by Orion Fuels Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenient. How relieved is Kevin Cash that, you know, I guess the lead story of last night's game is no longer his buffoonery?
I think he's still got to be hurt, man. Everybody's so mad at him. Like, I hadn't seen, you know, it's bad when like Stephen A is coming out with hot baseball takes in the middle of the World Series. He's hosing Kevin Cash down. Everybody was so mad at Kevin Cash, so mad at New Age baseball. You know, he's got a guy out there. You never see anything like it. Like a guy has 73 pitches. He's mowing everybody down. And they're like, yeah, third time through the order. Right. Sorry, you're out. He goes, dude, I won the Cy Young. Sorry.
Right.
Out.
We don't have any feel or gut anymore. We just have to do everything by the book.
Well, no, dude, I saw last night he's got a play sheet bigger than Andy Reid.
I think one of the things that frustrates me about this is that sometimes you got to watch the game, and regardless of what your game plan is, you got to have a feel for what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times with these pitchers, like, granted, you may have a lot of strong arms in the bullpen, right? But they ain't dealing like him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ride that out too far, you will not be crucified as much as you are as you pull him out too early. Especially in a game six that you need to win. I mean, that was... For a guy pitching that well, that was the quickest hook in that situation I've ever seen.
So weird. It's like, you know, everything is just, it's very strange to be looking at a game that I, you know, grew up. This was like my first sports love was watching the Marlins and baseball and just how different baseball is these days. And I feel like such a fuddy-duddy saying that on my birthday at the whopping age of 34. I'm like, these kids, because it's just like, all right. I mean, you know, everybody was comparing this last night locally. It's just like, man, you remember like Josh Beckett, 3 days rest, onions.
Oh, complete game.
You know, Yankee Stadium, complete game. And Josh Beckett hadn't thrown a complete game until that postseason in his career, Leroy. Right. Yeah, Blake Snell, who is a Cy Young Award winner already. And he's super efficient, and the guy's like, look, Mookie Betts is coming up. I can't have Mookie Betts face him a third time. I'm like, well, why not?
Right.
So, but you are right. You are right, Robbie. I do think that he probably saved some disaster by what happened last night with Justin Turner getting the Rona and then Rob Manfred. I mean, Rob Manfred, what the hell, dude?
There's a little conspiracy theory in there that maybe Rob Manfred knew about this Rona test. And I think Kevin Cash had already made the boneheaded decision to take Snell out of the game. But I think Rob Manfred's like, all right, this guy's got a Rona. We're going to have an issue. All right, the World Series ends tonight. All right, it's not going to be a Game 7.
Yeah, well, they kept saying that. They're like, well, everybody kept assuming there wasn't going to be a Game 7 now because Justin Turner. I mean, it's...
It would have been postponed. It probably would have been at least a couple more days before we got to Game 7.
Can I ask you this, though? Are we sure the test wouldn't have been buried? Very interesting that all of a sudden the test comes out right as the game ends.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I don't know.
You think the test would have been buried? You can't hide
We wouldn't have known for another day. Or I think Justin Turner, he would have not been in the lineup for Game 7. Everybody asking, why is he not in the lineup? And then after the game, it would have been like, oh, he had COVID. And...
crazy. Rob Manfred got booed. He was so shook.
Wait, there's hardly people.
No, they had 11,000 people that they were loud. Ooh, and he was first of all booing.
They were mostly Dodgers fans.
Booing the commissioner. Yeah, I remember with the infamous quote that he had before the season, Leroy, that the World Series is just a hunk of metal. People got really mad about that. First of all, I don't think Rob Manfred realizes how much people don't like him. He's a weasel.
I mean, huh? But that happens. That happens.
He's very weaselly, and nobody likes him. But he was visibly shook yesterday when they're booing him because like he starts like his little commissioner speech, and he gets the words 2020 out, and then it's just boo.
Like they were waiting for an opportunity.
Yeah, and he's just like, he's like deer in headlights. He's like, and he's mad. You can see he's pained because he thinks like he's going there as a conquering hero. I got the baseball season back. It's like, yeah, bro, you got a 60 games. All right, calm down. And then afterwards, like, I don't know what's wrong. Like, he's like slurring his words. So I don't know if Rob Manfred had a stroke. I don't know if he was a little inebriated. Some people were theorizing that there was a feedback in his ear. I don't know, dude. It was super strange what was going on with Rob Manfred yesterday.
I just sent you a picture of Turner.
Oh yeah, that does look like Turner, and he also looks like a Tomon.
Oh my god!
You never see that commercial? Snedeker, 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 Snedeker.
No, I don't remember that one. That guy looks like he looks like the CEO of Irish Peeler.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's only a handful of people that can pull that look off.
They probably give Turner some giant smoke and send him back on the field for the picture.
He does look like giant. He does.
Holy smokes. But that, like, one of the things that I was shocked about was when I look at Tampa, I think of Oakland, and I think of those two franchises kind of doing the same thing. The only difference is that Oakland would take and bring in a guy that made contact, right? Tampa wants the guy that bats 150 but hits bombs. And whenever you strike out a lot, it could hit at the wrong time, and that's what happened.
Oh, like, they kept defending or apologizing for Kevin Cash, too, like John Smoltz says. Everyone's going to blame Kevin Cash, but this Rays team's only have one run. You're not going to win games 1-0.
Right, but that was my point. Like, they swung and missed so much throughout the playoffs.
It's a stupid comment by Johnson. Like, why can't they go win 1-0? Like, is that against the rules? They're in the sixth inning.
And by the way, it creates a domino effect because they brought their closer in like the seventh inning, and then they brought him back in for the eighth inning. He was super gassed, and then he gives up a home run to Mookie Betts. He would have been a lot fresher had Snell been able to pitch his full worth.
But why? But my whole point is this. And I always say this, when we talk about sports and players all the time, right? My first question to you is when you make a suggestion for a change or anything of this nature, who you got that's better? Okay? Don't tell me what should happen unless you have, another option. And in that situation, to bring your closer in that soon, you're asking for trouble. Because now you have to play a game towards the end of the game that if your closer can't go that long, that now you're winging it, right? You may have pitchers that could come out of the bullpen that have given you good innings, right? But you're still winging it because they ain't your best. And how would you like to end the World Series with a pitcher that you're like, he's done some good in the past? No, I'm going with my horses.
Yeah, by the way.
And usually if a pitcher has more equity, being that if it was Clayton Kershaw, right? And the pitcher, the manager goes out for Clayton Kershaw, and Clayton Kershaw goes, I got this. The manager will let him pitch another batter, right? And if he gives up a bomb, he says, that's our guy, that's our ace, that's who we rolling with.
Yeah. It's not, you know, and it's not even like, look, Kevin Cash had his explanation. Like, I give him credit for, he has his reasons. And he was very sound in his reasons. It's just that I hate his reasons. Like,
right. Like,
I hate the state of that game. That's just what I hate. But like, that is what they've been doing all year. But I hate it.
Now, the one thing that I will always give a coach or a manager a pass on is this. And this is the only thing. But I still do believe that, look, we're also at a place where we had a guy who just winged it. Oh, felt great. I decided to go with that because that's how I felt when the Marlins won a championship, right? He was making crazy moves and they were all working. Everybody's like, oh, he's got a great feel for the game. We don't know that.
He needs to create a managerial dojo and like teach these, bring the new age back.
But if I say to you, we haven't watched them all year and it's been a shortened season. If I say to you, this is what they've done 20 times during the course of a year, right? And they decided to do what they've been doing all year. And this time it didn't work. I'm inclined to give somewhat of a pass, but at the same time, nobody can tell me that Snell, the way he was pitching, could not have pitched more. There's nothing you can tell me that would sell me on that. You ain't saving him for nothing. As Rocky would say, as Apollo Creed would say, there is no tomorrow.
Yep. Crazy.
They're like, come on.
All right, we'll take a quick break. I'll give you another update on this Justin Turner thing that went down yesterday. And we'll laugh at Rob Manfred a little bit. We're back after this.
You guys try to be consistent, but can you explain what went into the decision to take out Blake? Was it something you saw? Was it a plan to limit him to two times through? Or what was your motive there?
No, I mean, the only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions. And that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
I mean, you know, it's going to be tough, man. Like, I get it's a third time through the lineup, but, I mean, I think I'm going to make the adjustments I need to make as I see them, you know, a third time. I think, I don't know, man, I just believe in me. I believe in my stuff. I believe in, you know, what I was doing. I didn't walk nobody. They had two, you know, hits up the middle, you know, the slider to Barnes, you know, tip your cap. That was a bad pitch, and he got a hit off that. Good job. But for most of that game, man, I was dominating every outcome possible. So, and that lineup is so talented, like so talented. And, yeah, I don't know, I'm proud in the way that, you know, I scouted them. I scouted myself. I'm just proud of everything I did to put the team in a situation to win. And I wanted to keep going, man. I felt so confident, you know, how I adjusted through seeing them a second time and what I was going to be able to do a third time. Like, man, I believed a lot in myself and what I did to, you know, hopefully see him a third time through and a fourth time if needed. I mean, I wanted to go that whole game. That was everything I wanted to do, was just, you know, burn the tank and see how far I could go.
There's Kevin.
Why
Cash.
Does he sound like baseball Tyler Hero? Right? Sound like bit. He sound like the only thing missing was I got the best trip here. Right?
And the ass model.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Being out where he is, he might look up and get with a Kardashian.
Well, he's gonna have to get to their private island.
Right. Here, I don't for the life of me. Right. Sometimes I think that baseball managers can't leave well enough alone. Like, you can overcoach a situation in baseball. You know, Robbie says all the time with the switch. I mean, with the shift.
Yep.
Right? Like, you can overcoach. And sometimes it's just a matter of, you've collected all this talent throughout the year, right? You've put them in situations to see whether they're going to succeed or fail. You've worked your roster so that you hope that your best guys are in the positions where they can perform at the most critical time.
Right.
And you have a situation like this where you got your best guy. You got your best opportunity to get those guys out. Now, I get what everybody's saying about, oh, third time through the order. How about you give the damn pitcher some credit in his preparation? You basically saying to your pitcher, your ace pitcher, who's given up one run all game, and what, two hits at that time?
Zero runs and two hits.
Zero runs. You're basically saying this. You are saying, look, good job. I don't trust you put in the work to go through this a third time. Right? Because that's the way he said it. And Snell was saying, wait a minute, man. I prepared for this. I was ready for this. I know how potent their batting order is. I know how potent their team is. I had a game plan for all of this. I wanted to pitch this whole game, and I prepared myself and worked for this.
It would just bum me out as an athlete. I would just feel like, I know you guys have all these numbers, but like, you don't trust that, you know, once in a while I feel like I could be better than those than whatever's right on your sheet.
Like for a team, right, that has, you know, probably gone to the bottom of the barrel for players, that had to go cheap on players, you got a guy who's going to make a boatload of money, right? Who is a bona fide star. And you get in an opportunity where you don't have a low budget guy. You have a legitimate star in the World Series pitching for you.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that you would never be able to go out and just pay for under normal circumstances, and you pull him out of the game. Like, there's certain point. We've seen coaches in football. The quarterback just looks horrible in the beginning of the game. And what is the first question they ask after the game's over? At any point in time, did you ever think about pulling the pitcher? No! I mean, pulling the quarterback? No, that's our guy.
But it would also be like, it would almost be like in this situation, like the game where, well, I guess the Dolphins actually kind of did do this, but it would be like the San Francisco game where Fitzpatrick is rolling and he's hitting the deep ball, he's doing everything, and then Flores just pulls him. He goes, you know, we just felt like fourth quarter, eventually he's going to throw those picks.
Right.
He's going to throw those picks.
Your coach, like, here, man, one of the things we love about sports.
Fourth time to the defense.
Yeah.
Right. The one thing we love about sports is the uncertainty of it, is, you know, watching somebody actually dominate another person on the field or wherever that may be, or seeing somebody have that great game you know, just seeing these things. But at no point in time do we ever are we ever sure of what's going to happen, right? We just don't know. But you hope that with the athletes you have on your team, you can outdo or outperform the athletes they have on your team. And every coach or manager I know will say, in that situation, I want my best guy. Because if I'm going out, I'm not going out with a guy that we think could get it done. I'm going out with a guy who's proven to me time after time that he could get it done. And that is, you know, the only question I have. Somebody just texted in. Snell hadn't pitched past the sixth inning since 2019.
Yeah, it's July.
How does that play into it?
Well, when I could see why. They can't go through a third time of the order. How are you supposed to go six innings if you don't go pitch to the third time of the order?
I don't, like, man, I don't, like, I don't. Mean, there is nothing that he saw.
But 73 pitches is nothing.
Right.
What's your last start of the season?
There's nothing that he saw that he could say other than I had a feeling. Right?
I remember this being a thing, though, back in the day, and this wasn't really a case of, I think, numbers as much as it was a health thing, but it always drove me nuts how we wanted to give Josh Johnson a cookie back in the day because he went six.
Right, and I was like, celebrating. Everybody's celebrating.
I was like, oh, Josh Johnson went six innings. I was like, great. That was his thing all the time. It's like Josh Johnson like just mowed people down for, you know, 4.5 innings, but then, like, you know, and he went five, then they pull him, and then, like, oh, if he went six, everybody wanted to ride home. Like, six? Like, I'm like, yeah, all right, great for you.
I get the whole pitch count thing, especially with the Marlins, because we've seen it with so many players. But here's what I don't get about that. By the time the guy gets where he's pitching 7 or 8 innings, you can't afford him. So what are you doing? Right? You're not even taking it. Now, I'm not saying go out and burn him out because you're not going to have him in 4 or 5 years. But I am saying you're being cautious like you're going to have a guy for 10 years and you never do.
I think it's probably one of those things, too, where, like, they've just taken everybody now and everybody throws just straight 99 gas out of the pen, just never ending. Like, back in the day, your bullpen guys didn't throw, except for maybe your closer, didn't throw as hard. So Reniel right. Pinto was coming out there with a hoagie and sauce, and you were getting meatball central.
Hey, how about this? It's hard for me to say this, but based on what I've said, you guys get an idea of how I feel about this. Cash was damned for pulling him, and if the runs would have come off Snell, he would have been blamed today for leaving him in.
No, oh, nobody would have.
Because here's what you can always say, okay? In that situation, I want my best guy out there trying to get us to a game
set. You die with your horse.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And by the way, the guy, Leroy, this is going to make you crazy. The guy they brought in to replace Blake Snell, former Marlin, Nick Anderson, He had a working streak of 6 consecutive playoff appearances, giving up a run in each time.
Woof.
So what? Where was that on the paper? My goodness.
Now we'll posting the record 7 straight games.
Oh my goodness. Well, he played for the Marlins, so you know they.
Hey man.
No, 7 straight games this postseason. He's given up a run.
Not even the season. Postseason. That means if you put him in, count him for a run.
We'll take a quick break. We're back after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. We're going to have a special Wednesday edition of Magnificent 7 coming up this week, coming up today, because Robbie's going to be out in the next couple days.
Not on
secret Senegal suspension like last time.
And this is not the Vegas trip either. That's next weekend.
Yep. So we'll get that for you. John Anik, voice of the USC. He's going to join us later on today's show. Friend of the program. A lot of goat talk this week. And We figured we'd bring in an expert arbiter, and he will join us in the final hour of today's program.
Think he's got some bets?
I mean, I don't know. He's a huge degenerate, Robbie. He loves the odds. So you could ask him who he likes this week. It's Anderson Silva's final fight.
Oh.
He's got his swan song fight tonight.
Hasn't he said that before?
No, I think people have said this should be his final fight. This, I believe, is the first time Anderson Silva's actually said this is his final fight.
Isn't that how that goes, though? People have said he should have already fought his last fight.
I don't think he's... Well, I'm trying to think. He's got a pretty... let's see. Anderson Silva, I want to say his last win might have been 2013.
Jeez.
Yeah, Anderson Silva. Well, I think one got overturned by roids. I'm trying to... If I go to his Wikipedia... okay. This is he's lost his last two. He had a win against Derek Brunson. Very fugazi. A lot of people thought that he lost that fight to Derek Brunson. Daniel Cormier, super boring fight, but he did lose. Michael Bisping, crazy great. That was probably the best Anderson Silva fight over the last few years. Like the Israel Adesanya fight. He actually gave Israel Adesanya a good fight style bender. But why good fight? I mean, like, Izzy didn't dominate him. Right. You know, that's like, that was Stylebender's idol. There was like, they were doing Mortal Kombat moves, but not a lot of crazy contact in that one. Nick Diaz. So Nick Diaz would have been the last one that he actually won the fight. 2015. But that was overturned because he popped for all the steroids.
All the steroids.
And so then if you go before then, he had his two losses to Chris Weidman. Where he had his leg snapped, then he got knocked out the year before that. So Stefan Bonner was all the way back in 2012, was like the last no controversy, no issue wins for Anderson Silva. It's been a while since we've seen a guy who everybody's talking about Khabib as the GOAT. Everybody considered at that point Anderson Silva the GOAT. But he's like kind of the perennial, stuck around so long. So, you know, that makes his record look very ugly.
Right. Like it's the worst thing about that is that sometimes fighters stay around. Like you can say this about if I got to think of a boxing analogy, it would be Roy Jones.
And funny enough, those guys have always... If he probably wouldn't be fighting MMA anymore if they would have just let him go box Roy Jones, because that's been like a rumored bout forever. Those two have wanted to fight each other, and
it's amazing
they've just never let him do it.
People don't realize, like, Roy Jones switched divisions because he couldn't find anybody to fight him. He was hosing, he was running through that was a light heavyweight.
Yep.
Like there was nobody to fight.
Yep.
He couldn't make any money. And so then he went to heavyweight. He won, and now he's a heavyweight, but he's a tiny heavyweight.
Yes.
He's kind of... Now, I'll tell you who had success doing it and was very small was Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
Tiny.
Yep.
But he never
went back down. That was the big downfall. It's like... I actually heard him talk about this recently. He wanted to, who's the guy? He wanted to make some mark. Like, he wanted to win at heavyweight and then go back and win at light heavy. And of course, that was the famous, Antonio Tarver fight where, you know, ooh, a lot of people thought that Tarver won the fight. He didn't look that great, but he did retain all his belts. And then of course, the next fight, he fought Antonio Tarver again. And that was, he got an excuses tonight, Roy. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom. Knocks him out. Then the Road Warrior, shout out to Glenn Johnson, who trains down here, who trains people down here. The Road Warrior then knocked him out as well to win the light heavyweight title. So, yeah, anyway, either or. That's very, very similar, very good parallels there by you.
Hey.
Hey.
So, yeah. All right, man. Like, I hate, like, everybody got excited when Tyson started losing, but I hated it. I didn't hate that he lost. I hate that by the time he lost, that wasn't the Tyson we were used to seeing. Right? If you beat Tyson when he's Tyson,
yep.
Tip my hat off. Like, if anybody were to beat Floyd, right, you know you beating what Floyd has been the last 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so I give him all the credit.
Yeah, it's also why
but
I'm glad.
It always gets to the point where Anderson Silva, for example, right now, win or lose, that's not the Anderson Silva you remember.
No, I'm always going to remember the front kicks, the crazy ninja stuff.
Right.
You know, the
right.
the last-minute pull-off win against Chael Sonnen.
Like, if there was a guy who was to pull that Mortal Kombat move, you would think Anderson Silva.
Pretty much. Right? Yeah.
Right. That's where he was.
Yeah. So, either way, that's we'll talk to John Anik later on today's program, and we got that coming up, man. It should be fun. As far as big games tonight, look, this is a weird situation because we've had so much sports now for, you know, a few. We went with no sports, then we went with all the sports, and now we're kind of down to no sports.
If it wasn't for Kevin Cash, we'd have a big game tonight.
We would. But
no, that's not.
I tell you who's got a big game tonight. The Pinks.
Yeah.
The Pinks are in the playoffs, Leroy. They need to hold their place in the standings.
You got to go bootleg on them, huh?
I'm going to have to go Pirate Streams tonight because I don't get them up here. I have an ESPN Plus subscription for whatever reason. They blacked me out in Palm Beach. This is the ridiculous.
There's nothing worse than buying that subscription and then realizing that that's not what you thought it was going to be.
It's terrible.
I mean, Tobin gets it for all the fights, for all the UFC cards.
Yep. Yeah, but you still got to pay for that.
Yeah, well, but even still, like, I would like it, but the perks of giving that $6 is I get that and other stuff, and I'm not getting the other stuff.
Right. You're not getting the stuff you can't see on regular TV.
So the Pinks are taking on FC Dallas tonight, and big game for the Pinks. The Pinks are rolling.
They got the stage to themselves. Other big games.
So we got... Wow, so that's what we should call the Washington football team, Washington FC. Washington football team.
Washington FT. Yeah.
Washington FT.
Yeah.
Have a go out there.
And the game's in Dallas. I wonder if any of the guys in the Pinks were at the World Series game last night. If the game's in Dallas.
I hope not.
Hanging out with Justin Turner after the game.
I hope not. I hope they stayed in their rooms.
Yep, call that boys the super spreader.
We'll take a quick break. Hour Tua. It is Tua week here on the show. Coming up next.
First day of practice.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.